crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in...
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jill Metter. Hey, y'all. I hope y'all are having a great day today. Oh, excuse me. I forgot my opening line. Happy Thursday, y'all. It's such a great day. It's a little bit toastier out there today than it has been the last few days. Ceiling, it's 85. A little bit further up north at the May Ranch, it is 84. Slap out, 86. A little bit further down south, Cheyenne, home of the secret weapon, as Jimmy likes says, is 87. Here at the studio, the Gabe Gadget Mezzanet says 86. Humidity is 52% still, so might be baling hay a little bit right now. Hobart is 90, and down at Altus is not showing up on the map. I believe I heard Jimmy saying yesterday there's a few Mezzanet centers down south, but Tipton is 91. Over in your West Texas Panhandle, Lipscomb is 86. Miami is 87. Down at Dozier, it's 88. And down there at Childress, it is also 88. So not too hot quite yet, but that humidity makes it feel a little bit warmer. Well, we have a great show. I have a great show for you today. I've got Mr. Taylor, Jimmy Taylor, coming on the show just a little bit later today. We're going to talk a little bit more about his trip to San Diego. We didn't get to cover too much of it last Friday just because I didn't even know I was getting interviewed, and that just kind of happened, and we only had like 7 minutes to talk about his San Diego trip, and I really wanted him to come back in, and we can discuss a little bit more. We're going to talk a little bit about exports and sustainability, so I'm really looking forward to that. But right now, let's see what happened overnight. Soybeans rose overnight, and grains saw modest gains on signs of demand for U.S. supplies. China bought 251,000 metric tons of U.S. soybeans for delivery in the 2023-2024 marketing year. That starts on September 1st, the Department of Agriculture said in a report. The Asian nation, the world's largest importer of the oilseeds, put in a separate order of 132,000 tons of U.S. soybeans earlier this week. Mexico purchased 251,460 metric tons of U.S. corn for delivery in the 2023-2024 marketing year. Grains also were higher through favorable weather and harvest pressure limited overnight price gains. Excuse me. Precipitation has fallen in several areas of the Corn Belt this week, and more is forecast into at least the weekend, according to the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. Man, that's a mouthful. Investors also are squaring positions ahead of tomorrow's supply and demand reports from the USDA. Soybean futures for May delivery gained 10 cents to $13.18 and a half a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade. Soybean meal added $5.10 to $395.90 a short ton, while soy oil dropped 0.18 cents to 60.25 cents a pound. Wheat futures for May delivery rose 6 cents to $6.41 a bushel, while Kansas City futures added 9.25 cents to $7.07 a bushel. Corn futures gained 3.25 cents to $4.97.5 a bushel. Ethanol production falls to lowest in 2 months. Ethanol output last week dropped to the lowest level in almost 2 months, while inventories rose slightly, according to data from the Energy Information Administration. Production of the biofuel in the 7 days that ended on August 4th fell to an average of 1.023 million barrels a day from 1.067 million a week earlier. That's the lowest since June 9th. In the Midwest, by far the biggest producing region, output plunged to an average of 965,000 barrels a day from 1.005 million a week earlier. Rocky Mountain production fell to 13,000 barrels a day from 14,000 the previous week, and West Coast output dropped to 9,000 barrels a day from 13,000. East Coast output, meanwhile, was unchanged at 12,000 barrels a day on average. Gulf Coast production saw the only gain for the week, rising to an average of 24,000 barrels a day from 23,000. The agency said ethanol inventories were up narrowly, rising to 22.88 million barrels in the week through August 4th. That's up from 22.86 million barrels the previous week. Flood advisories are in effect for counties in southern Missouri, where several inches of rain fell yesterday afternoon and evening, leading to some areas of sitting water in low-lying areas. The National Weather Service said in a report, the advisories will remain in effect in the area through mid-morning. Storms are possible in the region starting again Friday night and likely will last into early next week. Further north, storms are likely in parts of central and north-central Wisconsin, though severe weather isn't expected. Another round of thunderstorms are possible in the region starting tomorrow afternoon or evening. There's a marginal chance of severe storms further east. Damaging winds and large hail are the main threats from any storms. That's what happened overnight. I'm going to remember this time. The studio text line is wide open at 580-225-9697. So if you have any questions for me or for Jimmy during the show, feel free to text in. We're going to talk a lot about his San Diego trip, like I said a while ago. And today is also the Oklahoma Farm Bureau Happy Cap Hour. So after we take our break here in just a little bit, I'll have a little bit on them. But, you know, so most of you know that I have my own photography business, and I had a family session last night, and I got a really nice compliment. I met a wife and her husband, and he told me when we got out of the car and introduced ourselves, he was like, "Man, I feel like I already know you just from listening to you on the radio." And I was like, "Well, I guess that's a good thing." And I asked him, I was like, "Do I sound the same?" And he said, "Yeah, you pretty much do." And I was like, "Well, I usually get a lot, oh, that's not what I thought you looked like." And especially since we haven't been on Facebook the last couple months, I've always wondered what, you know, people can't see my face. So it's kind of funny because they probably wonder what the heck I look like. Well, at least I sound the same in person. I mean, that's always a good thing. If y'all are wondering where Jimmy's at, he is in Kansas City delivering some beef. And when he called me last week, he was like, "I know it's your last week, and I'm really sorry, and I love you, but I'd love you even more if you would cover for me these 2 days." So here I am covering for him. So y'all are going to have to put up with me for just a couple more days, and then I'm off to college on Sunday. I still have yet to pack. I hate packing for vacations in general, so I'm kind of procrastinating till last minute to get everything packed up in boxes, and I don't think I realized how much stuff I actually have until I kind of looked at everything and I was like, "Man, this is a lot of stuff." And I have a lot of clothes, y'all. Y'all do not want to see my closet. Well, we're going to take a quick break. And when I come back, I'm going to have a little bit on the Oklahoma Farm Bureau. I'm going to have your market update and your sale barn update from Fairview since I could not find the Hobart one. We'll be right back.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Is your cattle mineral investment being washed away? Weather can cause conventional mineral to absorb water and blow away. Simply put, your cows probably aren't eating it. That's why Purina created Wind and Rain Storm Mineral, a weatherized mineral that can stand up to the elements. Its larger particle size makes it harder to blow away and easier for water to pass through it. Keep money in your pocket. Contact Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City today.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyard's weekly cattle sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
and ranchers, listen up. It's time to make your life easier with the Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding and Repair in Visalia, Oklahoma. The Apache Hay Wagon hauls multiple bales of hay and helps reduce waste. Less waste means more money in your pocket. It'll pay for itself over time, plus make your life easier. What a deal. See all they have to offer at everettswelding.com. Again, that's everettswelding.com. And be sure to check out their ads inside the Penny News.
I say the future is ours! Can you dig it?
Oh, you sure can. Especially if you rent from DJ's Rentals and Sales in Elk City. Dig up those old sewer lines with a backhoe or mini excavator. Save time and money. Rent a post hole digger to help with your next fencing project. You can dig it today when you rent from DJ's Rentals on South Main in Elk City.
Can you dig it?
Find out more, visit DJsRental.com. That's DJsRental.com.
You worked and you sweat and you worried for months over your crop. So why are you giving away part of the profit to someone else? Cut out the middleman. Keep your grain on your farm. Keep your money for yourself. A grain bin on your farm will never depreciate as long as you use it, and it'll make you as much money as you want it to make. Store your own grain in your own bin. Wall Bin Hoppers. Take a look at their website, wallequip.com. Wallequip.com. You did all the work. You should keep all the profit.
Hey, Today in Ag listeners, this is Jared Clark with South Star JCB. We carry a variety of wheel loaders, excavators, telehandlers, skid steers, and several other types of equipment. Please give me a call at 469-325-7466. That's 469-325-7466. Check us out on the web, southstartxjcb.com. That's southstartxjcb.com. I'd love to sell you one. Thank you, and God bless you.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, welcome back to the Oklahoma Farm Bureau Happy Cap Hour. I have your West Texas forecast for you today, and I picked Canadian. It is 88 degrees in Canadian, heat index is 87, humidity is 38%. Dew point is 59. Wind is out of the southwest at 5 miles an hour. Peak wind gust today is going to be 11 miles an hour. Your month-to-date precipitation is only 0.10 inches. Red flag minutes today are none. That's good. And your 8-inch soil temperature is 83 degrees. Well, like I said, today is the Oklahoma Farm Bureau Happy Cap Hour, brought to you by the Roger Mills County Farm Bureau. As Oklahoma's largest general farm organization with members in all 77 counties, represented by 77 county farm bureaus, our work and efforts span all of agriculture as we work to ensure our state's farmers and ranchers can focus on what they do best, growing and raising the most affordable, safe, and abundant food in the world. You can easily join the Roger Mills County Farm Bureau by going by our office in Cheyenne. Sorry, I'm trying to read Jimmy Clark's handwriting, and sometimes it's a struggle, y'all. Memberships are just $37.50, and that is cheap, in case you're wondering, and come with many benefits like insurance, life insurance, free roadside assistance, and discounts with various business. You can call them at 580-497-2579 or go to their website at okfarmbureau.org. So that's a little bit about them. Like I said, it's hard to read Jimmy Clark's handwriting. And Jimmy Taylor's sitting over here, and he probably understands my pain a little bit. We're going to talk here in a minute, but I'm going to make all of you people happy out there, and I'm going to give you your markets because I know you get a little cranky when you don't get your markets. Corn for September, 43. Most things are actually in the green today. For December, 496. March is 510. Soybean for August, 1425. For September, 1350. Soybean meal for August, 432.4. For September, 413.4. Soybean oil for August, 66.0 on the dot. For September, 63.95. Hard red winter wheat for September, 764. Hard wheat red wheat for December, 777. It's a mouthful a little bit there. Oats for September, 422. Oats for December, 441. Cotton is at 86 cents a pound. I remember that time to do it right. For December, it's 85 cents a pound. Live cattle for August, 181.20. Live cattle for October, 182.62. For December, 186.52. For February, 189.95. Feeder cattle for August, 247.95. Feeder cattle for September, 251.50. Lean hogs for August, 101.62. And for October, 80.85. I did not get a Hobart Stockyards report today, so we are actually going to do Fairview today, and this is my first time ever looking at Fairview. One registered Red Angus bull today, right, 2,900. That was the highest. Three Hereford bulls were sold for 2,600. Bred heifers, two heifers, heavy bred. This is the highest, sold at 2,400. 33 to 4-year-old heavy bred cattle, 3,400, and 15 5 to 6-year-old heavy bred cattle, 30. Wow, this is really tiny print. 3,325, I think, is what it says. It's a little hard to read. Pairs, 9 heifer pairs are bringing around 3,500, and 10 heifer pairs, black heifer pairs, were bringing around 3,400. So, still looking good. Well, in the studio with me today, I have my very good friend who really surprised me last week when he showed up, Mr. Jimmy Clark. Excuse me. I'm very sorry, Mr. Taylor. Mr. Jimmy Taylor.
I'm the taller Jimmy.
Yes. And the one that likes to wear the cowboy hat, as I like to say.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, you know, I was looking for a guest. And I am always excited whenever I can get Mr. Taylor in here, because he and I could probably talk for as long as we wanted to.
That's right, Jill. I think we could talk cattle all day long.
Oh, we could, for sure.
Get way in the weeds with genomics and performance and all those type things.
Oh, that's for sure. Well, when you came in last Friday and surprised me, and I didn't know I was getting an interview today. At least you knew you were getting an interview today.
Mm-hmm. You did really well for not knowing that was going to happen and not being able to prepare for those questions.
Well, that's good. I was a little nervous. I was like, I have never been interviewed on here before, so it was kind of a little bit of a change. But we talked a little bit there at the end of the on Friday about your San Diego trip.
Sure.
Will you share a little bit again kind of what you did on your little San Diego trip?
You bet. And I can't remember exactly what we where we left off on that, so I'll just briefly give a rehash as to what I think we talked about, and then you can ask questions from there.
That sounds good.
That summer business meeting that I just attended in San Diego is one of the most important meetings of the year. We have on the Cattlemen's Beef Board have 101 board members from across the United States that manage the national part of the checkoff dollar. The states collect it as state beef councils. They keep 50 cents of that and manage that with state projects, or they can participate in national ones. And they send 50 cents on to us. So we have 101 board members, as I said. They're all volunteers. So to come up there this time of year, all of them had something to do back home. They don't get paid for this, but they needed to be in the hay field, needed to be spraying crops, had cattle to work, but they take time out from their schedules to come up there and give their input, their producer input, on these projects that we're looking at for our next fiscal year, which starts October 1st, and that'll be fiscal year 24. We have 16 projects to look at and divide those up into the different program committees. Also in those program committees, there's representatives from the state beef councils, and those producers sit in there, and as the projects are presented by the contractors, we have 9 different contractors that present. As those projects are presented, those producers give input. They ask questions, ask some tough questions, and tell what they like about it to the contractors that have come forth with these projects, tell what they don't like about it, what they like about it. They give suggestions where they might change it. And that happened end of July. Those 6 program committees are in consumer trust, domestic marketing, international marketing, nutrition and health, safety and product innovation and stakeholder engagement. There's about 40 people on each committee. And we gave, as producers, we give input on those. And from then, they take what we told them and they tweak those projects. And so right now, starting last Thursday, we have a series of webinars that the contractors have made the changes. Now they're representing those to us,
okay.
And we can still ask questions. So producer has big input into how those turn out. We'll do those webinars through August, and then in September, there's a 20-member operating committee that meets and selects which projects we're going to do for next year. Now, there's a little bit of a discrepancy in the amount of dollars of these projects cost. It's like $49 million. So this year, we have a projected budget of $36,244,975. We've got to cut $13 million somewhere.
Yep.
So we've made our suggestions. They've changed them to fit what we said. And now we've either got to cut some of those projects out, or we've got to give them less dollars. We've got to cut the dollars we're going to give them and decide where in those projects we're going to make those cuts. So that meeting is probably my favorite one of the year, because that's when producers can come forward and tell what they think, give mm-hmm. their ideas.
This kind of reminds me, I can't remember, I think you were in the room, when we went to Washington, D.C. this last spring, and we sat in on a committee meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of reminds me of how they had people come forward and present things like, we want this kind of change, kind of similar to how bills are passed in Congress. Mm-hmm. Is that correct?
Yes.
Very similar?
Yes. Well, this is a producer-driven program,
mm-hmm.
and producers are the ones that pay the dollar ahead.
Right.
And so they have a say, and they tell how they want those dollars used. And that's a good analogy that you just used, that the producers that are at that summer business meeting, they're representing their producers back home,
right?
And telling, you know, they've talked to some of them, and I'm sure received input from them about, you know, what might be good to have as far as programs. And so they're representing them, and they give those ideas when those ideas are presented up there.
Well, that's just great. Well, we're going to take a little quick break, and when we come back, we're going to continue this conversation.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
SEI Agritech in Elk City is now an Oklahoma authorized distributor for Avanta Seeds, offering Avanta Seed in corn, forage sorghum, and milo. Avanta Seeds is focused on sustainable agriculture and providing farmers with quality seed. Avanta is now offering 0% financing through December 2023. So stop by SEI Agritech on South Randall or give Kent a call at 580-225-0317 for more details on Avanta Seeds. The future begins with a seed.
We're expanding and just getting everything else that we can to make us a one-stop shop. Oh, it's very convenient. You walk in, see what you want right there. If not, tell us what you want. If we don't have it, we'll find it and get it for you, and we're going to be very competitive on price. We'll probably beat anybody's price around here. We go down to Midland. We've had some crews up in North Dakota that we've had to take stuff up there too, down in Longview, Texas. Like all the big oil field companies that we have, they usually call and say, hey, we need this, or our salesman, they'll go by once, twice a month, and they'll see what they need. Hey, you need some of this, this, and this. You need 100 gallons more oil. We set big tanks, bulk tanks, you know, whatever size you want, 250 to 330 gallon tanks for oil for the mechanic shops to service all the equipment. Whatever you need, call an order in, and we get it out to you as quick as possible. Camrock is the name of the company. It's 2111 South Main, Elk City, south of Fred's Steakhouse. I'm Ronnie Redd. Myself, Brock Kalk, and Casey Miller are your owners at Camrock. Three local guys just looking to do business with our community.
For your next special occasion, Simon's Catch offers the romance and beauty of the country with the most delectable food of Elk City's finest restaurant. Enjoy the radiant colors of an Oklahoma sunset, the peaceful beauty of a walk through the woods, and the enchantment of a delicious meal. Simon's Catch offers a superb menu, including excellent farm fresh catfish, USDA choice steaks, and more. Simon's Catch Restaurant, the perfect catch for special occasions or no occasion at all. From I-40, exit 34, go 1.5 miles south and 1.5 miles west.
You've heard us talking about the 30-year-old ratchet that Napa replaced, no questions asked. A customer had a question about that particular transaction and that particular policy of replacing tools regardless of age. He walked into the Elk City Napa store and asked, "Do you guys really do that?" And the answer was, "We replaced two last week."
We try our best not to tell the customer no, but to find what they need. Napa Auto Parts of Elk City, 716 West 3rd. More parts for more cars.
This is the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, August 7th. 963 head were sold. 9 head of steers at 377, brought 327. 3 at 638, brought 236. 4 at 699, brought 256. 14 at 700, brought 241. 69 at 797, brought 245. 11 at 806, brought 247. 12 at 1032, brought 220. 7 head of heifers at 371, brought 265. 3 at 495, brought 254. 11 at 522, brought 254. 7 at 534, brought 246. 4 at 596, brought 239. 13 at 670, brought 248.50. 26 at 787, brought 234.50. Butcher cows were 25 to 128. Butcher bulls brought 101 to 140. Bred cows were 650 to 1500. Pairs brought 825 to 1510. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma. Sell every Monday at 10 a.m. to consign. Call Brandon Hinkey at 580-497-6095. That's 580-497-6095.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
It's Today in Ag with Jill Metter, not Jimmy Clark today. Hey, I have your northwestern Oklahoma forecast for you, and I picked Buffalo, Oklahoma today. It is 87 in Buffalo, feels like 87. Heat risk is low, dew point 63, humidity is 46%, still pretty high. Wind is out of the south-southwest at 6 miles an hour. Your sun is going to set at 8:37 p.m. That is always my favorite to say. Today you can expect a high of 92 degrees. It's going to be mostly sunny. There's a 20% chance of thunderstorms tonight. Tomorrow it's going to be very hot with a high of 97 degrees. And tomorrow night also 20% chance of thunderstorms. Leading into the weekend, Saturday there's a 40% chance of thunderstorms in the evening. Saturday and Sunday, are both looking to be about 96 degrees, and Sunday night there's a 60% chance of thunderstorms, so likely chance of rain coming on, which we will always take rain, won't we, Jimmy?
You bet. I'll never say enough. We've had enough, but so we got plenty of rain in the last 3 months. I think I've had like 21 inches.
Oh wow!
But now it's shut off. it was stopping some work that I would like to do. But I was just so thankful. You look back at the last 2 years, so thankful to finally be getting rain that came in enough amount to matter.
That's very true. I mean, we kind of had some hay trouble there this last couple weeks, just trying to get it baled. The humidity has been kind of hitting at weird times of the day, not normal baling times. And there for a while, I remember my dad, he cut our hay, and then it rained again. And like right in the middle of July, at the very beginning of July. And I was like, I don't think I've ever seen that happen before.
Right, right. But that's okay.
You know,
I had those similar problems with weaning cattle, weaning some calves. But, we finally had to turn them out and regroup, start again in a week when the pens dried up enough where we could get in there.
Oh yeah, well, we're very thankful our hay traps are full again. It's a very good sign to see. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm kind of going to steer our conversation a little bit towards sustainability, because I told you all ago that I tried to do a little bit of research on sustainability, and I was having a really hard time grasping the concept of what sustainability is in the beef world. I feel like there's many different perspectives of it. Mm-hmm.
So, Jill, that was probably the one word I had the most difficult time wrapping my mind around when I first started on this journey. I couldn't quite figure it out. And finally, what I realized is if I ask 10 different people the definition of sustainability, I might get 10 different answers. So that that kind of told me that there's a lot of different opinions out there. As far as my operation, it's to me, we're sustainable as an industry. I've got fellow ranchers, and I know they're doing this too. It's about doing more with less, leaving your place better than you found it, just taking care of things. And as somebody once said, we've got to do a better job of getting that message out, that we are already sustainable. Sustainability is very important to our industry because over 50% of consumers say it is, and that's where our dollars come from. So we're already doing it, and we just need to get that message out there.
Okay. That gives me a little bit better. It is a very hard concept to grasp. I will agree with you for sure.
So,
go ahead.
So some of the checkoff programs deal with this, and they get information out as to how our cattle industry is sustainable. One thing that comes to mind is upcycling. 70% of the land in the United States is unsuitable for growing crops to feed people with.
Oh, wow.
So the only way we can utilize that and convert it to food is through ruminant animals, which cows are.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll take that grass that humans can't eat and couldn't raise anything else on there. They'll eat that and turn it into the best source of protein that there is out there.
Right.
So they make use of the land that we could not use otherwise. Another place that sustainability information is good to get out there, and this is coming up with the scientific information to combat maybe data that's out there that's not quite right, is climate change, greenhouse gases.
Right.
If you see in the press sometimes, you'll see a number that some groups will say that cattle are responsible for 14% of greenhouse gas emissions. Well, that's actually a United Nations number. That's a worldwide number. If you look into the United States, that's our number's actually more like 2.6%. If you add all the freight and everything that goes into producing beef, it's still 3.9%, not anywhere close to that 14% number. So getting that story out there, that's part of what checkoff dollars do. They try to make the beef industry a culprit in that. And it's actually not like that at all. We've done a really good job of making our cattle efficient. In fact, today we produce the same amount of beef that we did in 1978-79 with a third fewer cattle through genetics and cattle ranchers working on their cattle. We've been able to make them so much more efficient that we're able to do that.
That just shocks me, which I do understand that the technology that we have in agriculture now compared to half a century ago, it's mind-boggling how much more information we have. I mean, my mom's side of the family, you could probably consider me a fourth-generation farmer at this point.
Right.
I remember them telling me, I mean, this is the first year they AI'd, and just because they didn't really know how to get into that, and the fact that they're actually looking at genetics now, and my grandfather, he has told me, our cattle have come a long way, and we can raise more because of the genetic side of it.
You bet. Once you start using AI, you've got access to the best genetics in the breed, and your progress, your genetic progress, will go so much faster.
Oh, like for that. Sure.
Now, one more thing on sustainability. You've probably seen in the press about cow burps.
Yes.
Methane.
Yes.
That's put up in the air. That is, we're not putting any more up there than, we're not adding to that. Let me change that a little
bit.
We're not adding to that. Methane has a 10-year half-life. So as methane is going up, these cow burps are going up, those that happened 10 years ago are falling off. So we're not increasing the total volume in any because it's such a short cycle. If you look at CO2, that's a 1,000-year half-life. So every bit of CO2 that goes up is adding to that. So cattle aren't near the culprit, as some in the press might lead you to believe.
Right.
But that's part of what the checkoff dollars do, is get these stories out to people that have had this misinformation about the methane, about the upcycling, and about the greenhouse gases, the percent.
Right.
Get that right information out there so people will know the truth.
I think that's important, especially for consumers.
You bet.
So, going back, you're probably tired of me talking about sustainability at this point.
No, not at all.
So, going back to sustainability market-wise, you know, they're predicting that these prices are just going to keep getting higher on the beef side. Do you think that with prices increasing, especially the price of beef in grocery stores and in steakhouses, do you think, I mean, right now consumers are obviously like still going to a steakhouse, waiting an hour in line to get a steak. They're still wanting beef, obviously.
Yes.
But do you think if these prices get higher that they might turn to different meat substances like chicken or pork?
You know, there's going to be a price point in there that would happen. You can look on one of our projects that we do with checkoff dollars is called the Meat Demand Monitor, and it's done by Dr. Glenn Tonser from Kansas State University. You can go on their website and see the monthly report. He interviews consumers, 2,000 every month, and asks these type questions. You know, how many meals did you have beef this time, and what's important to you? The top four things that are important to consumers were taste, freshness, safety, and price, in that order, for a long time. And there's about 12, 15 things listed that are of less importance that you know, kind of trickle on down. About 2 months ago, you saw price switch into third place over safety for the consumer's perception. So that's telling me that, you know, that's starting to become maybe a little bit important. Mm-hmm. I think we're right on the edge of that right now.
Okay.
But that's a good point. But you can track that if you go to that website, and you can see what those consumers think. And we use that for what you just asked, to see what they're thinking. Also, we know how, by knowing what they're thinking, we can know where to advertise or what to advertise about as far as creating beef demand. That's very helpful.
Very.
Now, internationally, we're going the other way. And I know you're wanting to talk exports in a minute.
Yes, we are.
I might be jumping ahead here.
We are. We're going to take a quick break before we dive into that, because I have to make sure our sponsors get a little bit of radio time, apparently.
You bet.
That's what Jimmy tells me. So we're going to talk a little bit about exports when we come back, and I will have your Hobart Farm and Garden Lone Ranger forecast for you. Hang tight.
Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Right now, hay coverage is a big deal. You know, price of hay right now is very expensive. The ability to get hay right now, and when people get their hands on it, it's probably one of the most expensive assets that they have in their operation right now. And we can insure that hay for fire. I know there's been a lot of wildfires, and people have a concern for that. And then if you're an existing customer with us and you have a farm and ranch policy, you know, people need to understand that's not something that's automatically included. They would need to call and let our office know, you know, what coverage they need for their hay, and we can add that onto their farm and ranch policy. Even if you don't have business with us currently, we can write hay insurance.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
It's important to keep your irrigation machines up and running during the growing season, because when your crops need water, they can't wait. And when you need parts, there's no substitute for the best. Valley Genuine Parts, from gaskets and gearboxes to booster pumps and boom mats. Valley Genuine Parts make all the difference to your operation. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325. For all your irrigation parts, technology, and service needs, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
Do you love the great outdoors? Maybe you enjoy trap shooting or skeet shooting, or maybe getting some target practice in at the firing range is your thing. If you're that person, you love guns. Hobart Farm and Garden has a whole room dedicated to guns, gun safes, ammunition, and more. It's quite impressive. You got to go check it out. They are Western Oklahoma's platinum Browning dealer and Glock stocking dealer. They're located at 1030 South Monroe in Hobart, Oklahoma. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Hobart Farm and Garden.
We will be an ag bank forever. There's just no way around it. Western Oklahoma, that's kind of a big deal around here. And we like to structure that stuff to where it fits your operation. You know, one size doesn't fit all. We're able to take what you need and have it fit you specifically. It helps guys with their cash flow. It gives them a little relief knowing they don't have to come up with a payment during the slow time of the year. They're not having to sell calves early to make a payment. I'm Jason Redd, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Cattle have to eat. When grass runs short and you want to strengthen your herd, go with Hi-Pro. For Hi-Pro, go to Cowman's. Cowman's Feed and Ranch Supply in Erie specializes in bulk feed. It's always in stock, and prices are good. And the way they take care of you is even better. If Gary Mills says he'll do it, it gets done every time. It's nice to know a place like Cowman's is around to help ag producers here at home. Cowman's Feed and Ranch Supply, 117 West 2nd in Erie. Call 526-3070.
When your tractor has a flat, you're stuck. When your truck's on a construction site and a tire goes down, you're in trouble. You need help. So you call down to Blair, and they come to you. They answer the phone, and somebody comes to wherever you are to fix your problem. They carry Firestone, Michelin, and some other tires. Blair Tire and Feed, Highway 283 and 19. On-site tire service, 563-2692. 563-2692. They come to you.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, welcome back to the Oklahoma Farm Bureau Happy Cap Hour, brought to you by the Roger Mills County Farm Bureau. And I would have your weather, but it's loading very, very, very slowly. I picked Mangum. That's all it says, though. I don't see any local weather. I can tell you that today you can expect a high of 102 degrees. Tonight there's a 20% chance of thunderstorms with a low of 73 degrees. Ah, there it is. It is 95 degrees in Mangum. Feels like 97. Heat risk is moderate. Dew point is 64. Humidity is 36%. Wind is out of the northeast at 8 miles an hour. Your sun is going to set at 8:33 p.m. Like I said, today, high of 102. Tomorrow, it is going to be 109. You know what that means, Jimmy? It means drink a lot of water and seek shade. That's what that means.
I do that more as the older I get, I find that easier to do.
Oh, that's good. That's good. It also means your cattle need clean water and shade as well, because they're also hot. So make sure that they're staying cool as well. Leading into the weekend, there is a couple chances of thunderstorms, so maybe we'll get a little bit more rain. Well, Jimmy, we have arrived at our last segment of the show. It's gone by pretty fast since you've been here. So you wanted to make a comment, one more comment on sustainability to kind of wrap it up.
Right. There's an event here in Western Oklahoma that just, to me, just speaks sustainability. And it happened in July, the Dust Bowl Days over in Sayre. It celebrates families that made it through the Dust Bowl and are still here. They're generational families. You mentioned your four generations. I think some of those go to five, maybe six generations.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
To make it through the Dust Bowl and to make it to now, they wouldn't have done that if their operations were not sustainable. Mm-hmm. They take care of their land. They do more with less, just like we were talking about. Yep. Take care of things.
They really do.
Do the right thing, and they leave it better than they found it for that next generation.
That's very true. And I could speak to that. I mean, my grandfather's land, I don't know what it looked like 40 years ago, but I'm sure it looks way better now than it did then. That's for sure. So I kind of want to shift the conversation here a little bit. Talk a little bit about exports and where we're at export-wise. I believe the last time you and I had it was just us two. we talked a little bit about exports, but it's been a couple months since then.
Right, and we've got a new set of numbers out this morning, so
okay.
I can share with you.
Well, that's wonderful.
You know, it kind of goes hand in hand with our last conversation about domestic demand.
Mm-hmm.
Export demand is on an uptick right now. And you have to marvel at the demand for both of them with as high as prices are. It's domestically, last year was a 33-year high as far as demand, even with those higher prices. Because I think the producers have done a really good job in creating more quality in their product, where consumers like what they're eating. They have a good eating experience, so they want to come back for more. Same thing internationally. So these markets, these international markets are so important to us moving forward. You see states here in the U.S., California comes to mind with their Prop 12 that they did with the pork industry, where they set their own rules and regulations just to sell a product in their state. If you come up with 3, 4, 5 states doing that, our market all of a sudden is not the same as it always was. It's just one market here in the U.S. It's going to be more difficult to sell our product, our beef product.
Right.
So at that point, international markets become more important. 96% of the world's population lives outside the United States. If you break it down to the middle class, it's 93%. We need to be in those markets.
Oh, of course.
So we export, last year it was 15.2% of our product went international. The set of numbers that came out this morning shows another uptick. And usually you compare things year over year to see how you're doing. Last year was an all-time record year. It's the best we've ever done. We sold $11.68 billion in value.
Oh, wow. I thought you were going to say million, and then you came out with billion.
Billion with a B.
Man.
B. Now, in volume, we did 1.47 million metric tons, which was up 2% year over year. The value that I told you about was up 10% year over year. So you've got to take that into consideration when you're looking at this year compared to last year. We're still on pace to be either second or third all time. It's going to be really close. Our June numbers were the highest they've been since last October. We had this last month in June, we sold a little over $909 million worth of exports to the different countries. So we went down from October into January, February. Now the last 3 months we've been on that uptick, and this is the most that we've had. But I think you're seeing come into play the COVID restrictions that were on the Pacific Rim, which are our top three countries. That played into it. They're easing those now, where those markets are opening back up. Those three countries, our number one market last year was South Korea at 2.7 billion. China was second with 2.55 billion, and Japan was third with $2.4 billion worth of product.
Well, you just led right into my next question. I was going to ask you which countries are getting the most exports, but you answered it perfectly.
Well, and that South Korea story is a remarkable story. Checkoff Dollars, one of our contractors and that does our export project, is the United States Meat Export Federation. And their job is to get market access and develop markets in these foreign countries. They've got 19 offices around the world and work in about 80 different countries. So you go back and look, year 2003, we had a BSE incident here in the United States. So exports went way down there. I think in South Korea they were about zero.
Oh, wow.
So a year or two went by and they started trying to get product back into South Korea. In 2007, 2008, there were protests in the street about U.S. beef coming back in there. So we've moved from that, just a little bit of product going in, protest in the street, to becoming our number one market. that's how good a job that USMEF has done with that market development.
Yeah.
You know, market access, every country's different. Politically, you've got to figure out where the red tape is and, yes. you know, how you get in those markets. Then market development, those people in those countries mostly are used to grass-fed beef, in some cases water buffalo. That's what their palate is used to mm-hmm. when they eat. So when we bring the grain-fed beef in, it's a little bit different. So you've got to educate them, you know, through tastings, through food bloggers. You know, those are popular over there too.
Really?
Chefs. So they'll it's all of the above as far as getting that information out to consumers and getting them acquainted with American beef. Mm-hmm. Now, once they taste it, they like it. They're going to be a
couldn't imagine customer. Why they wouldn't like it. I mean.
Oh, yeah.
I love a good steak. Jimmy even asked me one day. He was like, what's your, like, go-to dinner? And I was like, steak, without a doubt.
Mm-hmm. And you can probably remember some steaks that were so good. You remember them years later. Remember
for sure.
That family event you were at,
mm-hmm.
you know, the restaurant you were at.
Yep.
It's that tremendous eating experience that we all strive for.
Oh, that's for sure.
And just a good time. And most of the time you'll be with family or friends. And,
yeah.
Good remembrance.
Oh, for sure. So do different countries buy more like specific cuts of meat or maybe beef that we don't eat as much here in the U.S.?
Excellent question. Both exports and imports, before I got involved with this, I was thinking whole animals.
Mm-hmm.
Whole animals going out,
right.
whole animals coming in. Neither one is like that. It's parts of animals. You know, most of the beef that's imported is to enhance our beef here. With our fat trim, we bring lean trim. 72% of it is lean trim coming in. Same with exports. Different countries like different cuts. And one of the big wins as far as exporting beef is beef variety meats. Those are parts of the animal that are not popular over here.
Okay.
That you don't see in the supermarket. I'm talking about maybe lips, liver, tongue.
I can imagine why.
But in different countries, those are delicacies. Tongue, for instance, over here, you know, I heard of a tongue being in a supermarket the other day.
Uh-huh.
First time I've heard that. I don't think
really?
It was there for years. But over here, most places, it's worth a rendering value of about 30 cents a pound. In Japan, that's one of their delicacies. They'll pay $11 a pound.
Oh, wow.
For tongue. So the average tongue, the weight of it, you'll get about $20 for that tongue.
Oh, that's awesome.
By selling it over there. liver, Egypt's our number one destination for that. Of course, you know liver is high in iron.
Yes.
A lot of our liver goes to Peru. They discovered that their kids over there, in a large part, were iron deficient.
Oh, really?
So by bringing U.S. livers into there, they help that problem.
Oh, you're helping out health benefits,
you bet.
Too. That's awesome.
You bet. Livers are also really big in Africa.
Okay.
And that is an emerging market over there for us. Just started scraping the surface on that one.
Mm-hmm.
Africa has 1 billion people by itself. And they're liking their U.S. beef. So through the efforts of USMEF and checkoff dollars, we're working on opening that market up.
Wow. Well, is it certain parts of Africa?
Yes, they've worked more. South Africa.
Okay.
It comes to mind. There's two or three other countries that they're working on, but they've actually got the youngest average age in their population. That are one of the youngest in the
mm-hmm.
world. You know, like Japan is a mature
yes.
population.
Very.
Africa is very young. And they've got an emerging middle class that will be able to afford a product.
Oh, that's
over
great.
There. So every country is just a little bit different in what they like and what we can sell. But we sold last year over $1 billion of that was this beef variety meats that you asked me about.
That's awesome.
And without that, those markets, we wouldn't be moving that at all.
Right.
Every country that we go into, and every cut that we can sell places contributes to $447 extra dollars per fed animal here in the United States.
Wow. Well, that's just great. Well, the only time I've ever touched a cow or a cow tongue is playing cow tongue football. So that's the only time.
I've never done that.
Oh, well, maybe we need to get you to try that.
Well, I'll do that if you'll try the tongue.
Okay. That's a fair trade-off to me. Well, right. Thank you, Mr. Taylor, for
Thanks
coming
for
on today.
Me on, Jill.
I appreciate it. Well, it's been a great Thursday, and today is Today in Ag with Jill Metter. God bless.
We're like the caffeine in your cup, keeping you going all day long.
Thanks for making us number one, 96.5 KECO.
Out of an Iranian prison, I'm Rich Dennison, Fox News. Five Americans who the Biden administration says are unjustly detained have been released from prisons in Iran and placed on house arrest.
White House National Security Council spokesperson Adrian Watson says while it is an encouraging step, the Americans never should have been detained in the first place, and the administration will not rest until they are all back in the U.S. The transfer comes as a potential prisoner swap has been discussed between the two countries. Three of the five Americans have been identified, all sentenced to lengthy terms in prison.
Fox's Jared Halpern in Washington. Former President Trump's valet Walt Nauta entered a not guilty plea today on new charges in the classified documents case. But Carlos de Oliveira, the Mar-a-Lago property manager, was again unable to enter a plea because he still hasn't secured a Florida-based attorney. The judge also accepting the latest not guilty plea of Trump, who told the judge in court papers last week he is not guilty to the additional charges and waived his rights to appear at today's hearing. Wildfires in Hawaii now blamed for at least 36 deaths on the island of Maui. The wildfires have been fanned by high winds from nearby Hurricane Dora. Jordan Serebe lost